Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Bewitched by Elizabeth Rose. Narrated by Kevin E. Green. 1. Being conceived from both light and dark magic was an imprisonment from which there was no escape. It was also the bane of Medea Dabar's existence. Even with the darkness that often filled her heart, Medea decided she wouldn't wish this life on anyone. No one, no matter how evil they were, deserved what she had been living through. It felt like being trapped in her own body. Hatred, jealousy, and extreme rage often reared up, seeded in her from her late mother. It consumed her to the point that there was nothing she could do to stop it. The darkness that filled her was sometimes so strong that she even frightened herself. However, along with this great grief, also came a gift, a light at the end of the tunnel. Darkness made up only half of Medea. In her was also embedded the spark of goodness from her father. That light sometimes shone so brightly that it somehow managed to push the darkness aside. There was a constant battle taking place inside Medea, one side winning over the other, and then back the other way again. Medea felt like naught but a bystander, as she was not in control at all. At 20 years of age now, Medea realized she was no longer a child, but a woman, like her sisters, Rapunzel and Cinderella. She was a lot like all of her 7 half-siblings, she supposed, the only difference being that she didn't grow up with them around, and because of this it made her feel empty and lonely. Loneliness was something that frightened Medea more than anything else. Sitting back on her throne in Tanglewood Castle, she threw her feet over the arm of the chair, even though she wore a gown and it wasn't proper or ladylike to act this way. Nay, she didn't care what others thought of her, even if she was a queen now, since her mother was dead and she'd inherited the title. She actually didn't care about anything anymore. All she wanted was to be happy, and needed to find a way to do just that. Yanking the crown off her head, Medea studied it, running her finger over the jewels embedded into the golden circlet. Gemstones, coins, gold, wealth. These things seemed to make most people happy. Then again, Medea wasn't like most people. Nay, she didn't want these riches, or even cared about them at all. This crown had once belonged to the rulers of Tanglewood, before her mother seized the castle, making it her own. Hecuba's victory was accomplished at the price of others' lives. It hadn't been a fair fight, it never was. The poor departed souls never had a chance against Hecuba's use of dark magic. Medea had inherited that same dark magic from her mother, but hers wasn't yet as developed as it could be. With no one there to teach her or guide her, she didn't know what to expect. That made her wonder. What would it be like not to have this magic at all? What if she were just human and felt like everyone else? It was an absurd thought, but still it made her wonder, since she had a curious nature. Lately Medea found herself not able to stop wondering about it day and night. Thoughts like these filled her head constantly, ever since she inherited the title and position 2 years ago. Drumming her fingers atop the arm of her throne, Medea struggled with feeling not only alone and unwanted, but also extremely bored. She needed to get out of here and go places. She wanted to do things. This sitting here thinking, but taking no action, was only going to drive her mad.
"My queen,"
came the voice of her head guard, Orson, walking up and stooping low as he bowed before her. Part of Medea liked seeing others grovelling at her feet. Another part of her found it repulsive. Tension built up inside her, causing her to shake and creating sweat on her brow. Her skin crawled. It made her feel confused, and as if she were going to burst.
"Stop calling me queen. I don't like it," she snapped,
knowing that stolen titles didn't necessarily make a person worthy of them at all.
"I'm not a queen. How many times do I have to remind you?"
"Nay, that's not true, Your Highness. You are our queen now, my lady, and our ruler,"
said another guard, Riggs, entering the great hall and stopping to bow to her as well.
"We answer to you now, since Hecuba is dead."
And before Hecuba they'd answered to the true king and queen of Tanglewood, she reminded herself. These men were naught more than puppets on strings. Why didn't anyone have a mind of their own? The struggle inside her made her feel as if she wanted to scream or run. Sometimes she had admired her mother, and other times she despised her. But no matter how evil Hecuba had been, she was still Medea's mother. Hecuba had been the only one who had truly cared for her and looked after her. She was also the one whom Medea severely let down in the end.
"You don't need to remind me that my mother is dead!" she shouted.
Anger filled her, growing stronger with each breath she took. She didn't want to think about how her mother died. It hurt too much. And the guilt she harboured ate away at her blackened soul. If Medea had the ability to do it, she would erase the memory from her mind completely about that day, and never be haunted by it again. Medea threw the crown at the guards, almost hitting them. They both ducked as the metal circlet smashed into the wall behind them and then fell, rolling across the stone floor beneath their feet. If she didn't leave here anon, she was going to wind up killing someone, of that she was sure. Mayhap her mother never had a qualm about killing or cursing people, but Medea didn't want to follow in those footsteps right now.
"So sorry, my queen," said Riggs. "We didn't mean to upset you."
"That's right. Our wish is your command,"
said Orson nervously. He most likely only said this since he'd seen the extent of her powers, and was frightened by them. They all were. After all, with just a flick of her hand, they could all be dead, or possibly turned into toads, or cursed for life. As far as Medea knew, there weren't any limits to her magic. Medea had no friends, or at least not real ones, anyway. Anyone who pretended to like her was only doing it out of fear or duty. No one wanted to feel the results of her wrath. She let out a deep sigh of frustration, glaring at her guards. Taking a deep breath, she held it until the light within her overcame the darkness, smoothing out her emotions once again. Over the last few years she had been experimenting with being able to control her magic. Sometimes she was able to stop the darkness inside with the light, but at other times it worked in just the opposite way. There was no one to turn to in order to find out the answers. Her mother had been pure evil, and her father and half-siblings were all good. No one understood what she was going through. This time she was lucky, and her breathing managed to summon the light within her. Slowly she stood up, feeling relaxed, and as if all the tension had been swept away. She had been trying hard to change her ways, wanting to be more like her sister Rapunzel and the others. Sometimes she was able to stop the darkness before it consumed her completely. However, it didn't happen often enough. Bored beyond belief, she yawned, stretching her arms high over her head. It had been her mother's idea to seize Tanglewood by means of magic, just to gain an army to go up against Lucio de Bar. Medea didn't know anything about the previous king and queen of Tanglewood, and neither did she want to know. To even think about how the innocent rulers were killed by her mother would only make the guilt inside her grow stronger. That was something she didn't need at all. Medea supposed it should make her happy that she was a queen, but it didn't. Not in the least. Making decisions, punishing thieves, and going to battle was nothing she enjoyed. Medea wanted excitement in life. However, that excitement was something that she was going to have to create for herself, if she wanted it at all. She also wanted a man in her life. Medea was curious about love. She'd been there when her sisters, Rapunzel and Cinderella, fell in love with their husbands, Marco Drago del Rossi III, and Sir William Fremont. She'd also been present when one of her brothers, Mackay, fell in love with the Snow Queen. Why were they all able to find a mate and fall in love, but she wasn't? She was just as pretty as her sisters, and even more powerful than her Dragon Lord brother by marriage. In the past, Medea had fallen hard for both Marco and William, but realised now it had been more infatuation than true love. All her magic couldn't stop the men from staying true to her sisters. It was unbelievable that even Mackay and Queen Era Coldottir ended up together. After all, her mother's curse on Mackay made him infatuated with the wretched Snow Queen, who had naught but a heart of ice. The meaner Era acted toward him, the more Mackay liked her. It was amusing, but still, it was all wrong. Or at least Medea thought so. Right now she was no longer sure. Her head became clouded and she seemed unable to make decisions on her own.
"Fine, then," she told her guards. "If you insist on pleasing me, I have a chore for you both."
A corner of her mouth lifted up into a half-smile, as she thought of an adventure that would truly prove to be exciting.
"Anything at all, my lady," said Riggs, keeping his head bowed.
"What can we do for you?"
asked Orson, being so fast to want to please her. It disgusted her, and made her want to strike them both down dead, just so she wouldn't have to watch them grovel at her feet again.
"Riggs, I want you to saddle a horse for me. Orson, fetch my travel bag from my chamber with my things. Then you'll both escort me on a little trip."
"A trip?"
asked Orson, looking up and scratching his nearly bald head.
"We didn't know you planned on travelling today, my queen. This is such short notice." "I just decided to go. Besides, I don't need to report my doings to anyone."
Riggs and Orson exchanged glances.
"Of course not, my lady. But where, if I may ask, are you planning to go?"
asked Riggs.
"It's really none of your concern."
Medea grabbed her cloak from the back of the chair and fastened it around her shoulders.
"However, I'll tell you, just because I don't care who knows it. I am going to Tavistock Castle."
"Tavistock?"
Orson nodded.
"Then you're going to visit your sister, Rapunzel, and her dragon lord husband, my lady?"
"Nay, I'm not going to exchange pleasantries with anyone. That is not my purpose at all."
Medea reached up and fixed her hair.
"I am going for an exciting adventure."
"An adventure?"
asked Riggs.
"We don't understand."
"I'm taking a ride on a dragon, since I never got the one Marco promised me."
"Oh,"
said Orson, seeming very uneasy. After all, Hecuba had shape-shifted into a dragon to secure this castle as her own. Dragons were not something that anyone at Tanglewood welcomed.
"So the Dragon Lord will be accompanying you, then, on your ride?" "Of course not, you fool. I'm going by myself."
"Yourself?"
Riggs shook his head.
"I am surprised the Dragon Lord agreed to let anyone else take his dragon."
"He doesn't know yet," she admitted with a cocky smile. "You see, I am going to steal the dragon and take it for a ride."
You can command a dragon?"
asked Orson with wide eyes. It was an unusual skill, and could only be obtained by those who were born into it. If one wasn't a dragon lord, the dragon could turn on them.
"Of course I can command a dragon,"
she answered, then made a face. Her magic might be powerful, but would it be enough to control a fierce, fire-breathing beast?
"I mean, I think I can. After all, how hard can it really be?"
Medea froze as the dragon turned its head and its beady orange eyes stared a hole through her. The majestic beast filled the entire stable, its head rubbing against the ceiling as it snorted and pawed at the floor. Marco's dragon was bright red with long, transparent wings folded back. Spikes stuck out from the ends of the wings, looking just as sharp as any blade.
"My, you look a lot bigger than I remember seeing Marco ride you through the sky," she mumbled.
Once again the dragon eyed her up, probably wondering if it should scorch her with fire to cook her before it ate her. The thing had the eeriest orange eyes with vertical black slits, reminding her of the eyes of a cat. Her gaze roamed over its tough, scaly hide all the way from its head down to its long tail covered with sharp spikes. It had large, curved claws or talons on its feet. She also saw a double row of long, sharp teeth emerging from its mouth. It truly was a terrifying sight. Mayhap she should have thought about this more before she decided to get this close. On the other side of the enclosure was a second dragon that she knew to be that of Marco's father. It was blue with red stripes down its wings. It, too, snorted and pawed the ground. Anxiety thickened the air. Smoke streamed out of its nostrils. The dragons could feel her presence, her fear, and most likely her intent. By their actions it was obvious they didn't like her being there. Medea had briefly encountered the dragons before, but that day was naught but a blur in her mind right now. So much had happened so fast that it made her head spin.
"They looked a lot less threatening up in the sky," she commented, swallowing hard.
We'll wait outside, my queen,"
said Orson, backing away. He dropped a travel bag at her feet. Then he and Riggs hightailed it out of the stables.
"Run, then, you cowards! I don't need you," she shouted.
When she turned back to look at the dragon again, she jumped in surprise. The beast threw back its head and opened its mouth, enabling her to see clearly now its double row of sharp teeth. Flame shot out of its nostrils in a steady stream. The stables were constructed from metal instead of wood, and now she realised why. The dragon could burn anything, or anyone, to ashes, just by breathing on them.
"It's all right," she spoke to the dragon in a soft voice. "I only want to ride you, not harm you."
Dragons were very finicky creatures and could pick up emotions and bad intents from people easily. She wondered if they were spooked by the darkness inside her, or just upset to see a stranger here. Picking up her travel bag, she slipped it over her shoulder and slowly unlatched the gate to the stall, trying not to frighten the beast. The dragon pulled anxiously at the chain around its neck. The chain was fastened to a metal spike in the ground to keep it stationary. It was also forged in magic, so the dragon could not break it and escape.
"You want to fly, I know, I can tell. I want to do that too," she spoke to the dragon, her eyes never leaving its piercing stare. "No dragon should be chained up like this. I agree."
The dragon's back was high, and there was no way to climb atop it unless the beast bowed down to her the way it did to its dragon lord master. That was something she was sure it would never do, so with a wave of her arm she used her magic to transport herself, ending up sitting atop the back of the dragon before the beast even knew what happened. The dragon lurched and pulled hard at its chained tether, snorting and trying to shake her off.
"Now, now, just calm down. You'll feel better once you're out in the open sky."
Medea gripped onto its leathery mane, hoping she wouldn't be thrown to the ground. She quickly eyed the chain holding the dragon prisoner. She needed to release it, but couldn't reach it from her position. With no other way to do it, she used her magic once again. The chain dropped from the dragon's neck, hitting the ground with a loud thud. The second dragon roared from the other end of the stables. The dragon beneath her was now free, and it knew it. The beast made an awful sound and reared up, almost throwing her from its back. She gripped on tighter, feeling her body slipping down over the hard scales. Then the dragon turned around and darted out of the barn with her atop it. She had succeeded in freeing the beast, but she wasn't sure what to do next.
"Wait!" she cried, having no idea how to control a dragon. "Calm down!" she shouted, as its wings started flapping wildly around her, sounding so loud that it reminded her of a tornado.
Orson and Riggs saw what was happening and ran in fear to hide.
"Medea, is that you?"
came the voice of her sister from the direction of the castle. Medea turned her head to see Rapunzel running toward the stable.
"Nay, what are you doing?"
The look of shock and also frustration washed over her sister's face.
"Stay back, Rap!"
Medea yelled, using the shortened name for her sister that her siblings sometimes used.
"I'm finally going to get that ride on the dragon that Marco promised." "Medea, wait. I'll call for Marco and he'll take you. He's the only one besides his father who can command the dragons. Marco!"
She shouted for her husband, but her eyes remained on Medea.
"Nay, I don't want Marco to take me any more. I'm tired of waiting for anyone to give me what I want. I'm getting it for myself." "Nay, don't, it's too dangerous,"
warned Rapunzel, picking up her skirts and following as the dragon moved across the courtyard with Medea atop it. Rapunzel's once extremely long hair was now cut shorter and only hung down to her waist. Her blonde tresses were interwoven neatly with colourful ribbons into one long braid that trailed down her back.
"Marco, come quickly!"
Rapunzel shouted once again at the top of her lungs.
"Goodbye, sister,"
said Medea, kicking her heels into the sides of the dragon the way she would do atop a horse. The beast snorted and groaned, flapping its wings furiously now. Before Medea realised what was happening, the dragon lifted into the air and flew off over the top of the castle into the vast sky.
"Come back!"
shouted Rapunzel from below, shading her eyes and looking upward.
"Sorry,"
Medea leaned over and called out with a shrug. The dragon flew in a circle over Tavistock Castle, the wind biting against Medea's face. She looked down to see soldiers and servants running in chaos, looking up at the sky. Then she saw Marco exit the keep and look up at her and raise his fist in the air. She could feel him calling to the dragon, and of course the dragon had to obey.
"Nay,"
she cried, not wanting the dragon to return to its master. Her ride had just started, and there was no way she was going to allow it to be over so soon. Using her powers to block out the sounds of Marco's command, she hummed loudly, filling the dragon's head with her voice instead. Medea kept the dragon from hearing Marco or even his thoughts. The dragon swooped down and then back up to the sky, causing a flitting sensation in her stomach. As terrifying as it was, it made her feel alive and happy, which is something she had never felt before. Medea reached up and yanked the ribbon from her head, letting the wind blow her long black hair freely up around her. It felt so good. This was exhilarating, and more than exciting than anything she had ever done before. It was exactly what she needed to bring her out of the slump she was in.
"Whee!"
she cried, throwing back her head and closing her eyes, feeling so free as she flew through the sky. Holding on with only her legs, she daringly threw her hands in the air. It was good to finally get her ride on the dragon, and she hadn't had to depend on anyone else for her happiness this time. The dragon swooped down one last time, not even hearing the dragon lord who shouted and waved his arms over his head now. This was working out perfectly, and she didn't even feel guilty for using her magic to steal the beast.
"Goodbye, sister,"
Medea called out to Rapunzel once more. But when they got higher above the castle, she felt someone's presence behind her. She jerked around to look, almost losing her balance.
"Rapunzel," she screamed, "how did you get up here?"
Her sister sat behind her on the dragon, reaching out and wrapping her arms around Medea's waist to hold on.
"You forget, little sister, that you are not the only one with magic. I have newfound powers now as well. I use them to get up here."
"Oh, that's right,"
she said with a sigh, knowing this was only going to cause trouble.
"We need to take the dragon down now, Medea,"
scolded her sister.
"You're being reckless. Someone is going to get hurt. You don't know the first thing about dragons, nor how to command the beast. You don't know what you're doing."
Medea supposed her sister was right, even though she didn't want to admit it. Even with Marco's anticipated reprimanding her when she got back, the ride would still have been worth it.
"Fine," she snapped. "Down, dragon,"
Medea commanded, but the dragon didn't heed her words. She was figuring out quickly that only a dragon lord was able to control the beast after all, and that her magic might not be able to remedy this problem after all. Mayhap in her eagerness to take a ride, she hadn't thought things through.
"It won't listen, Rap,"
she cried, starting to feel anxious. She supposed she could just use magic to transport herself to the ground, but she didn't want to leave the dragon or her sister.
"Medea, what is that?"
Rapunzel gasped and pointed at a swirling mass of colours where the land and sky met at the lake.
"I don't know,"
said Medea. Her eyes grew wide as the dragon headed for the anomaly that looked like nothing she had ever seen before. Colours of blue and red swirled around, and it almost seemed as if an opening was being created in the middle of the mass.
"Something is happening,"
shouted Rapunzel.
"The dragon is headed right for it, and I can't stop him,"
yelled Medea.
"It looks like some kind of portal."
Rapunzel gripped tighter to Medea.
"A portal?"
Medea didn't know anything about portals, but could sense that it wasn't somewhere that they purposely wanted to go.
"Turn round, dragon,"
she said, pulling at the beast's leathery mane. It only seemed to anger the dragon even more.
"Go down, I say,"
she commanded. Of course it didn't listen to anyone but a dragon lord.
"Rap, it's not working."
She felt scared now. This wasn't what was supposed to happen.
"The dragon is heading right for that portal. This isn't good."
"Nay, don't let it go through,"
begged Rapunzel.
"Try to use your magic again to stop it, Medea."
"I did, but it didn't work. I don't know what to do. This has never happened to me before. You try, Rap."
"I can't,"
protested Rapunzel.
"My magic isn't strong enough to work on a dragon or a portal. You need to do something. This is up to you. You got us into this mess, now fix it, and do it fast."
The dragon veered upward so quickly that Medea lost her travel bag as well as her cloak, and nearly fell from its back. The items fell to the ground as Rapunzel held on to her even tighter. Then the dragon swooped around and headed right for the swirling mass of colours. Medea froze in fear.
"I'm scared, sister,"
said Medea, not yet able to fully control her powers, and feeling too reluctant right now to even try. She was at a loss for knowing what to do, since her mother had never told her how to handle a situation such as this.
"Hold on,"
cried Rapunzel, laying her head against Medea's back.
"We're going through."
"Nay,"
cried Medea, knowing now that not only her siblings, but also her father was going to be angrier with her than ever before. Aye, when she returned, if she returned, there was going to be hell to pay. 2. Rhys Blackseed rode his oversized silver snowflake warhorse away from Castlebar Castle in Mura on an errand from the king. Being King Rand Osric's head knight, Rhys had been given the best steed of the land. It took a strong man to control such a large horse, but then again Rhys was stronger than anyone. Being the youngest son of the late sin-eater, Ambrose Blackseed, Rhys had inherited the family trait of super strength from his great-grandfather. He also had the power to heal himself, although he very rarely needed to use it. The Blackseed brothers had a strong presence in the land of Mura. Zan, the middle brother, was the huntsman for King Drustan Grinwald of Evendorm. Their eldest brother, Darium, was a sin-eater, who made a great sacrifice to ensure the souls of dead loved ones made it to the Haven, instead of ending up in the Great Abyss. Rhys rode next to Zan, but could tell by the silence that his brother was still upset. With his quiver of arrows on his back and his bow thrown over one shoulder, a scowl plastered on his brother's face.
"Zan, are you still sulking about the fact our brother has newfound fey powers?" Rhys asked, looking at him from the corners of his eyes.
Zan hadn't spoken much to anyone lately, not even at their brother Darium's wedding yesterday.
"I'm not sulking. I'm just not sure how to accept everything that has transpired lately," Zan answered.
Their brother, Darium, married the Fey Talia Glen, who was also an elemental of the earth. They'd almost lost Darium when he was sucked into the portal of the Land of the Dead, but thankfully things worked out. The kings were grateful for the closure of the portal, because this saved them from the dark spirits coming through from the other side. Two of the kings even decided to drop the ban prohibiting magic of any kind, since it was magic that closed the portal in the end. The land of Mura was ruled by three kings who never seemed to agree on much. Each of them was greedy and wanted to rule Mura as their own. Rhys was headed now to King Leofric Sethor's castle to try to convince the man to join the other two kings in no longer prohibiting magic.
"We should be happy for our brother. Also thankful that we now have Mother with us again, when we thought she was dead," Rhys pointed out. "That's something else that it's going to take some getting used to,"
complained Zan, not wanting to forgive the woman for deserting them when they were children.
"Which part do you mean?" asked Rhys. "That we were lied to about her death, or that she is an elemental of the air and we never knew it?" "All of the above," Zan snorted. "Our late father is the one you should be angry with, not Mother." Rhys.
Zan looked up over the lake and his eyes opened wide.
"Do you see what I see?"
"What?" asked Rhys, turning to look, just as his horse reared up in fear.
"Whoa, Samson!"
He tried to still the animal, gripping tightly to the reins. Then he saw what his brother was speaking of. There was a swirling, colourful portal opening at the edge of the water. The Lake of Souls was the largest and deepest lake of Mura.
"Darium has been insisting he's seen another portal opening, and I guess we should have listened to him." "What is it exactly?"
Zan stopped his horse, and so did Rhys.
"I mean, it doesn't look dark and murky like the portal that led to the Land of the Dead."
"Nay, it doesn't," agreed Rhys, his horse turning in a full circle since it was frightened and wanted to run. Rhys held it still.
"It oddly seems colourful and almost comforting. I suppose we'd better get a closer look and figure out exactly what it is."
Zan dismounted his horse and tied the reins to a tree. Rhys did the same. Together they slowly walked toward the dreaded lake that only seemed to bring strife and trouble to the land of Mura.
"It looks like something is coming through the portal, but I can't tell what."
Zan stretched his neck, trying to see clearly the centre of the swirling mass that was right in front of him now. Then he reached behind him and yanked an arrow from the quiver on his back, quickly knocking the arrow in case he needed to use it.
"If it's something bad that comes through, we've got to stop it."
Rhys unsheathed his sword, getting ready to fight.
"I'm getting tired of this." "Me too,"
agreed Zan as they stood in front of a large boulder, just waiting and watching, not knowing what to expect. What came through the portal was something that neither of them could have ever imagined.
"Watch out!"
shouted Rhys, pulling his brother out of the way, as a large red dragon swooped through the portal, its sharp talons almost scraping against Zan's back as it passed overhead. Zan let loose the arrow, but it only bounced off the hard scales of the dragon, making the beast turn and shoot fire from its mouth.
"Damn it!"
Zan dove behind the boulder, but Rhys wasn't fast enough. His tunic caught fire, flames shooting up past his face. Rhys dropped to the ground and rolled to put a...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?